Amen. The 16 that are going on the trip, would you stand? Would you like to see who you are? If you're one of the 16, one of the chosen. Very good. All right. Very good. Very good. I think I smell cookies baking too. Man. It's too bad this is going to be a long sermon. I'm really sorry about that. Today we're starting a series called Life's Most Important Question. And 3 months ago when I got the idea for this series, it sounded like such a great idea. But now as we're upon it and I've got thinking more about it, it is really hard to nail down exactly what is life's most important question. So I want to hear from you. You tell me what you think is life's most important question. You can write it on your communication card, which goes in your offering plate, by the way, as it comes by. You can text me, you can Facebook me, send a letter, whatever. I would like to hear from you this week. In your opinion, what is life's most important question? You're going to hear one version from me, but I would like to hear your version. There are a lot of important questions in life, questions that all of us should deal with sometime or another. One is, what are my values? What's right and what's wrong? What are my priorities? It's a huge question, and you have to wrestle with this if you're going to live a truly meaningful and effective life. Who will I spend my life with? Who will be the important people in my life? The quality of our lives is largely determined by our relationships. Will I get married? Will I be smart and stay single? That's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Look it up. Single life is the best way to go if you can do it. But whatever your marital status, a big question is, what will my relationships be like? Will they be healthy? Will they be destructive? Huge question. Where did we come from? Origins. Huge question. If we are only animals, we'll tend to act like animals. But if I believe I'm formed in the image of God and bear His nature, that's a whole different story. And when I see other people as made in God's image, I'm going to have a much higher view of them. It's a huge question. Where are we going? What's the future hold? What's our destiny? Where are we all going to end up? If there is no future beyond this life, that has huge implications. There's a lot of big questions. You know, what are my dreams and hopes? What will I do about a career? Where will I live? And I know this is a big one for some of you here today. Will the Cubs win the World Series this year? A lot of big questions in life. But I'm going to suggest that none of those are the most important. Let me suggest, let's have a drum roll. Life's most important question is, why am I here? What am I on this earth for? Now, your opinion on life's most important question, I'll grant it might be different, and I'd like to hear it. And you may even convince me that this is not the most important. But I say that this one is important because that once that question is clarified, once you know the purpose, the other pieces of your life will come together. Once you know why you are here, you'll begin to form your values and where you're going. It'll define your relationships. It'll determine your priorities. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, but the resurrection was not His primary purpose. The cross that He died upon wasn't even His primary purpose. His purpose is stated several places, but the most familiar is John 3:16. I want you to read this with me, okay? For God so loved the world that He gave His that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Why did God send Jesus? Not to condemn, but to save the world. Jesus' purpose is very clear. Luke 19:10, He said, I came to seek and save the lost. His purpose was to save the world. His death and resurrection were obviously very important, but they were the means and the method for accomplishing His purpose. Jesus lived a purpose-driven life, as Rick Warren writes in his book. And I want to suggest that we too need to live a purpose-driven life if we are to live the best life. Why am I here? An online magazine asked readers to submit their life stories in 6 words. And the online response was huge. They received thousands of entries, which were later compiled into a book, a 6-word summary of your life. A 9-year-old girl with cancer gave these 6 words, cursed with cancer, blessed with friends. An older man, 70 years, few tears, hairy ears. I relate to that. There's a woman, followed rules, not dreams, never again. Another, peer pressure made me do it. A lady named Grace summed up her life by saying, rarely lives up to her name. Here's a good one. Macular degeneration. Didn't see that coming. Get it? Yeah. Lucky in love, unlucky in metabolism. Born bald, grew hair, bald again. That's life. My favorite, saved by grace, free at last. How would you sum up your life in 6 words? I thought about some for me. My memoir could be in 6 words, if I'm honest. Preached a lot, worried too much. Some preachers I know would say, married the church, want a divorce. So if you were to write a 6-word memoir, whether you've thought of it or not, you are writing a life story right now. Jesus' memoir in 6 words would be something like, came to save the whole world. This search for purpose is not easy. I've asked people, what's the meaning of life? What's the purpose? And tough question, they scratch their head. A philosophy professor once wrote to 250 of the best known philosophers, scientists, writers, and intellectuals in the world. And he asked them, what's the meaning of life? Now, is that a tough question for a philosopher? I mean, that's what they talk about, isn't it? The meaning of life. But here's the responses. Some offered their best guesses. Some made up a purpose for life because they didn't really know. Some were honest enough to say they were clueless. They didn't know. Several wrote back to this professor to ask if he had discovered the purpose of life. There's a lot of uncertainty. We're going to show you a video that chimes in with this.
Why were we put here? I think everyone wants to know, why were we put here? Why are we on Earth?
My purpose in life is to live a normal life, to be a citizen, a productive citizen.
Intentar pasar por la vida de la manera más desapercibida posible.
I don't fully know why I'm here, but I enjoy that. I enjoy knowing that because then that creates endless possibilities for myself.
I would like to make a difference, even if it's only in one life. I'd prefer to do more.
Because I think the meaning of life, in my opinion, is to find something that you're passionate about and use that passion to make the world around you a better place.
I just sense a lot of uncertainty, you know, what is it? And some of you might be saying, why are we even dealing with this? So what? What's the big deal? Well, I am glad you asked, so I'm going to tell you what the big deal is. Purpose gives meaning. If you don't know why you're here, I mean, what is the point? Without meaning, life has no significance or hope. We were created to live meaningful lives. We were not created just to be born, live a few years, and then die. There is more to it than that. Isaiah, the prophet, complained, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain for nothing. Sometimes even a great prophet of God wonders, you know, what is it about? Job said, my life drags by day after hopeless day. I give up and I'm tired of living. Leave me alone. My life makes no sense. The greatest tragedy is not death. It is life without purpose. I do a lot of funerals. And I have a definition of what's a good funeral and what's a bad funeral, because none of them are good, ultimately, of course, but, well, ultimately they are good, some of them. But this, my definition of a good funeral is someone who lives a God-created purpose, who lived a God-created purpose. A bad funeral is someone who did not fulfill what God intended for them. Here's the second thing. Knowing your purpose simplifies life. Life is so busy, many of you know that. There's so many options, so many things going on, and purpose defines what you will and will not do. People who don't know their purpose try to do too much, and it can cause stress and fatigue and conflict, running to do this and that, 800 different directions. The lady in the video talked about the endless possibilities if you don't have a purpose. Well, she's right, but it becomes too much, and it becomes endless pointlessness. Jesus knew his purpose. And when I read the life of Jesus, I don't see anxiety, I don't see stress, he was not in a hurry, he had the most important job in the universe, and yet he seemed to be in control. If I threw a ball to you, you could catch it easily, most of you could catch it easily. But if I threw you 6 balls at the same time, you might not catch any of them, unless you focus on a single ball and let the others go. Without purpose, life is like that. There's just so many options, and we end up with nothing. I've done a lot of funerals, and their life was just there. There was nothing to it. What is your purpose? Purpose gives focus. It concentrates your effort and energy on what is important. A focused life tends to be a powerful life. You remember those magnifying glasses you used to start a fire with them? It would focus the sun's rays. And when light is focused even more as a laser beam, it can cut through steel. Those who've made the most greatest difference in history have been the most focused. And number four, purpose gives motivation. It produces passion. Nothing energizes like knowing what you are about. And if you don't have a purpose or you don't know what it is, you're going to lose energy when things get tough. Someone said, it is usually meaningless work, not overwork, that wears people down and robs their joy. Meaningless work. And then purpose sustains you through bad times. Jesus faced bad times and opposition, both from friends and enemies. But he headed to Jerusalem resolutely. He knew exactly why and where he was going, and he would not be dissuaded. Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher, said, if we have a why, we can get along with almost any how. In other words, a difficult crisis can be endured if we retain the conviction that our existence has a purpose and a cause to live for. So my goal, sometime in the next 5 weeks, is for you to write a purpose statement for your life. Something that states why you are here, and it will guide you, determine your values, your priorities and direction, and every decision you make. Now, it should be on one page or less. Shouldn't be a real long thing, but I want you to write it because writing clarifies. Don't do this in your head. Your head can't handle this. Write it out. And one reason this is a hard question is we typically begin with the wrong starting point. And that starting point is usually me. What do I want to do? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams, my future, my values? And we are told to look into ourselves for the answers and look within. The purpose for your life comes from within yourself. And that is just misdirected. That is not the way to find your purpose. But that's what you hear from everyone else. Tony Campolo said, we're told in order to find ourselves, we have to peel away all these outer layers of people's expectations and the outer layer of your parents' expectations and the outer layer of cultural stereotypes and other people's images of you. You just got to keep peeling away all this outer stuff and get to the inner core of you and who you are. And Campolo asked, what if after peeling away all this outer stuff, you find out that you are an onion? You peel and peel and peel, get down to your inner self, and you find there is no core. Focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life's true purpose. Never, ever. You can try to create your own purpose, many do, and you can try to find it within yourself, but it will not be your life's true purpose because you and I are onions. We don't have a purpose hidden deep within somewhere. That is one of the biggest lies of our culture today. December 13th, issue of GQ magazine had two quotes that present two very different worldviews. Now, I don't even know what GQ is all about, but I just read this somewhere else. I don't know if it's a good magazine or not. In the first quote, the actor Matthew McConaughey, named GQ's Man of the Year, argues, I'm a fan of the word selfish. Selfish. When I say I've gotten a lot more selfish, I mean I am less concerned with what people think of me. Selfish has gotten a bad rap. You should do for you. And that is the typical mindset today. Look within yourself and look to yourself. The self is where the answer resides. And 90% of Americans would say, amen, you got to find yourself. Peel away all these outer social constructs and what other people think and look within yourself. A few pages later, GQ quotes an award-winning fiction writer named George Saunders. He was named Life Coach of the Year. Saunders says, the big kahuna of all moral questions, as far as I'm concerned, is ego. How do you correct the fundamental misperception that we are all born with, the idea that I am central? All the nasty stuff in this life comes out of that misunderstanding. Saunders says, most our problems come from selfishness. So two completely opposite views. McConaughey says you should do for you, be selfish. Saunders says you should get over yourself because selfishness is killing us. So which path do you think is right? The popular one today, the first one, do for you. My generation was called the me generation. Us baby boomers, we were the me generation, and our generation was wrong. And we've handed on to the next generation, the one after that, and now we have the me generation on steroids. If you don't think so, look at Facebook for about 2 minutes. I mean, people reporting every aspect of their lives. I don't care what your toenails look like. I really don't care. Get over yourself. I got a new dictionary on my iPhone, and it gives a word for the day. I don't usually look at it, but I had to look up a word one day, and the word for that day that they popped up was this word, omphaloskepsis. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. Even know. Definition, contemplation of one's navel. Seriously, it's a real word. And it comes out of transcendental meditation. You know, where's my purpose comes from? For a lot of people, it comes from navel gazing. Me. And I'm going to suggest, folks, let's go against the cultural current on this. Self does not have the answer. So where does our true purpose come from? I'm going to suggest that whatever or whoever made you determines your purpose. Let's just get logical here. I mean, whoever created this watch that I'm wearing created the purpose for this watch, and that is to keep time. If this watch were gold-studded and diamond-faced and worth thousands and thousands of dollars but didn't keep time, it's not doing its purpose. And you may be rich, and you may have a lot of gold-studded accomplishments and all kinds of wonderful relationships and even high values and still not fulfill your purpose. The creator, the chair you sit on, created its purpose, the creator, you know, to hold you. If you fall down sitting in that chair, the chair breaks, it didn't fulfill its purpose. So our purpose comes from our creator. Does that make sense? Is that logical? God created this world, he created its purpose. He sent Jesus, gave Jesus his purpose. He created us, and God gives us our purpose. We must begin with him. He created you for a reason, and it has to start with his purpose for you, not you. So, here's the question. Will you look to God for while you are here, or look to an onion? Psalm 139, 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We are amazing, fearfully made, wonderfully. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. God is even more amazing. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. When you were born, God did not say, oops. Your parents may have, but not God. God was not surprised when you were born. He made you and made you for a reason. Ephesians 1:11, it says, in him, speaking of Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. You are chosen, selected by God. God knows ahead of time what he plans for us. The purpose of your life fits into a much larger cosmic purpose that God has designed for eternity. We were created predestined to fulfill his purpose. Bertrand Russell was an atheist, and he understood this. He said, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. You cannot arrive at life's purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. Navel gazing won't do it. Who created you? If you start with self, what are you going to end up with? Selfishness. Do you really think you were created to be selfish? Have you seen what selfish people do? So this series is based on two foundational tenets. Number one, God created us for a purpose. He didn't create us just for the fun of it. Very clear purpose, and that purpose has been revealed. He didn't create us and then have us guess why he created us. We don't have to conjecture or look within. He tells us, and he's not left us in the dark to wonder. And if this is true, that our purpose has been revealed by God, then we know there's some things that are not our purpose. So I'm going to give you some knots this morning. If you haven't figured out by now, I'm not going to even begin to get into the actual purpose of why God created us. That starts next week. But today, I want to give you some things of what your purpose is not. Number one, it is not personal fulfillment. Fulfillment is very important. It brings a lot of good things, and it is a byproduct of your purpose, but personal fulfillment is not what you were created for. The Bible never says God sent his son to fulfill himself. No. And he did not create Adam and Eve and tell them to find personal fulfillment for themselves. And you were not put on this earth to primarily fulfill yourself. And yet that's exactly what a lot of people are striving for and groping for. Finding your purpose will be fulfilling, but it is not why we're on earth. It's the result of our purpose. The next one is a big one. I think I hear this one as much as any. at least on Hallmark Channel. The purpose of your life is not happiness. Are you happy? That's all that matters. I just want my children to be happy. Of course we do, and happiness is important. I preached on it. The Bible talks about it, but it's not your true purpose. If you pursue happiness, I guarantee you will live a shallow, meaningless, even stupid life, a selfish life, and you'll never fully attain what God intended for you. People are chasing happiness through a new car, a new house will make them happy, a new spouse will make them happy, a new baby comes out, it'll make me happy, my kid excels, that'll make me happy, when my kid leaves, that'll make me happy. What's going to make you happy? Jesus was happy. He had fun. In fact, he was called a party animal by his enemies. So having a purpose does not mean you won't enjoy life. In fact, I would suggest it's the way to truly enjoy life, to have a meaningful, worthwhile purpose for living. But John 3:16 does not say, "For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to be happy." How about career? Guys, especially tempting for men, and some women too, but career is not what defines you. If farming is your life, you're missing it. If being successful is your life, you're missing it. You have a gold-studded watch that doesn't keep time. Successful, but pointless. Now, the next one might border on heresy. This teaching by Jesus is perhaps the most shocking to us today. This might even make some people mad. If we were to ask people in Mount Pulaski, Logan County, what is the most important thing in your life? I think many, maybe most would say family or relationships. A lot of people say, well, family is what it's all about. To raise kids who'll be happy and do well in life, you got to marry the right person so single people have no reason for living, right? Wrong. Or relationships or friendships are what it's all about. Family and relationships, they are very important, obviously, but it's not your purpose. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to have good relationships. Well, he did. And he loved his family, but that's not why he came. In fact, he offended his family when they got in the way of his purpose. And you may have to do that. He told his disciples, you may need to hate your family. Jesus was not always family friendly. You know why? Because he knew that one of the worst things you can do is make family your ultimate purpose. Because then our whole family will miss out on why they were created. Please, if you don't hear anything else today, please do not worship your family. It is the worst thing you can do for them. Love them, but don't worship them. Your purpose comes from your Creator. And that implies one other thing. Your God-given purpose will extend beyond this life. Since God is eternal, his purpose for us will have some eternal aspect to it. Man-made purposes are temporary. God-made purposes are eternal. We will spend far more of our time on the other side of death than on this side. And knowing your God-given purpose will give you significance, not just for this life, but for all eternity. For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God." So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. My mom and dad loved us boys. They loved their family. They were really good parents, and they would have died for us. I know many of you parents would do the same for your kids. But we children knew we were not their first priority. Their first priority was beyond us. It was eternal. And they wanted their family to have that eternal purpose, and they gave us the best gift, an eternal legacy. Your purpose has to be bigger than your lifespan. So today I'm offering an invitation and a challenge. Today, the average lifespan is around 29,000 days. If you are 25 years old, you've lived a little over 9,000 days. If you are 40, you've lived almost 15,000 days. If you are 40, statistically, you are halfway to death. If you're over 80, you're on borrowed time. You've lived your 29,000 days. If you're my age, you've lived about 23,000 days. I only have 6,000 left. Now, this series is 35 days, 5 weeks. Don't you think 35 days to figure out what God wants you to do with the rest of your life is worth it? If I'm going to live 29,000 days, and then for eternity beyond that, taking 35 days to figure out what these 29,000 and all eternity is about, I think that's good use of my time. So here's the goal. Write out a purpose document. And this shouldn't be done in 2 or 3 minutes. I think you should take about 5 weeks to do this. Because writing gives clarity. It forces you to take some time to think about it. You know, why am I here? I'll make some suggestions for books you can read that'll help on some of these. I have questions for you to think about and ponder. Small groups are going to be working on these to get us to talk about life's most important question. Now, the younger you are, I'm going to suggest this may even be more important for you because you have most of your 29,000 days left on this earth. So junior high students, high school students, you do this. Start writing each week, and I'm going to probably say things you'll want to revise and think it through, and this is going to become the descriptive document for my life. I did this several decades ago, actually, and I still pull it out just to see how am I doing? Am I on track with what God created me to be? So here's some assignments this week. Read the life of Jesus, one of the four Gospels, and ask as you read, how did Jesus fulfill his purpose? Because that will give you some help and direction for your purpose and how you can fulfill it. Sum up your life in 6 words and be honest. At this point, if I'm honest, what has my life been about in 6 words? And what would your family and friends say is the driving force of your life? We tend to be blind to ourselves. So what would my spouse say? What would my parents say or my children say? What's the driving force? Number 4, what are some possible purposes God intended for your life? Just get you start thinking about this document you're writing. Number 5, since we were made to last forever, what is the one thing you should stop doing and the one thing you should start doing today? If you really believe we're going to live eternally and have this eternal perspective, it should change how we live and some of our attitudes today. And then number 6, make an initial rough draft of where your purpose life is. Just start writing, realizing this draft will be revised over and over and over and several times over the next few weeks. Why am I here? Big question. Father, I cannot think of a more important issue than this. This, in many ways, determines everything. This is what directs our lives. This is what determines our priorities. And so we ask for your guidance. We ask for your help. We ask for you to speak to us and reveal to us your purpose for creating us. Why did you make us? We're going to do this, Lord, with Jesus as our example. And we're going to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.